Verdugo back to the pin. He caught it. He took it back.
He's doing everything right now.
That ball is gone. What a bullet by Devers.
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of the TC & Company podcast. Tom Caron with you as we count down the final days of the 2021 Red Sox season. Just 10 games remaining as we put this together. The final homestand of the season rolling on. They beat the Mets in the first game of that little two-game series to go to 4-0 on the homestand. Six-game winning streak, their longest since before the All-Star break. It was June. It ended July 2nd the last time they had a winning streak this long. I think that was an eight-gamer. So they're closing in on one of their longest streaks of the year. They're mashing the ball right now, averaging almost seven runs a game over the six-game winning streak. And they're getting pitching. The bullpen's been outstanding, kind of gone to playoff mode here. Alex Cora, like he did in 2018, moving guys around. Tanner Houck pitching out of the pen now, different guys carrying different parts and going to the bullpen a little quicker. And also lining up the rotation so that his two best pitchers are at the top and pitching every fifth day. Chris Sale, Nate Eovaldi. You can go the other way, Nate Eovaldi, Chris Sale, because Nate Eovaldi has had an unbelievable season. He's going to be in the Cy Young Award conversation. He might not win it, but he's going to be up there when it's all said and done. His numbers stack up with the best in the game, a 3.58 ERA over 30 games started. He's got the lowest walks per nine inning of any pitcher in Major League Baseball right now. And his FIP, fielding independent pitching, if you ever look at that, those are just the outcomes that a pitcher can control. The strikes, strikeouts, the walks, the hit batters, and the home runs, not balls put into play, because that can be left up to the fielders. And but FIP, fielding independent pitching, he's got the best in the American League at 2.71. So lowest home runs per nine in the American League. He's really put together a terrific season, his first season as an All-Star. And just as importantly, he's the Red Sox Roberto Clemente Award nominee, honoring his sportsmanship and community involvement, such great work he's done with the Jimmy Fund and numerous other charities as well. But it's his fourth year now in Boston, and it is longer with the Red Sox than any other team. He's been with Miami, and he's been with Tampa, and he's been with the Dodgers, New York, and now finding a home really with the Red Sox, and really remarkable to watch him stay healthy and put this whole season together. 173.2 innings. He hasn't thrown this many innings since 2014 with the Marlins, and he's closing in. I'm not sure if he'll get there, but he's closing in on the 200 inning plateau, which is remarkable after such a short season last year. Everybody talking about what Nate Eovaldi's been doing, including Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez, who dropped by our broadcast booth during the game the other day, when Dave O'Brien and Hall of Famer Dennis Eckersley couldn't help but talk about the season Eovaldi has had for Boston.
What do you think of Eovaldi? This guy has come into his own this year, huh, Pedro?
Well, he's healthy.
Yeah.
And we have seen it, Eck. Anytime this guy's healthy, his stuff doesn't really need to envy anybody's stuff.
I mean, this is a pitches, man.
Power arm. He understands better his body. He has made some adjustment mechanically. And some, he has created some move to, you know, throw off the timing of some hitters.
And Nate Eovaldi is with me now, joining me on the podcast this week. Nate, you've got, you know, Pedro Martinez and Dennis Eckersley, two of the greatest who ever threw the ball, right? Two Hall of Famers, talking about what you've done this year, what you mean to this team, what you mean to the community. What does that mean to you? I mean, is there ever a moment when you sort of pull back and look at your place in the game and sort of appreciate what this has all become?
No, I mean, you definitely what I'm talking highly of you as opposed to, you know, kind of ragging on you. But no, I mean, listening to Eck all year and then having Pedro come around all the time, you know, it's obviously big praise to have them, you know, complimenting you, things like that. And, you know, again, it's nice to have them. The baseball minds, everything that they've experienced and witnessed, I mean, they've pretty much experienced it all. And, you know, have them talk highly of you, it's a big deal for me.
You know, you've made 30 starts now, and you're not done. Obviously, 173 innings. You know, these are numbers that you haven't had as far as putting together a full season here since 2014, right? With Miami, and It'd be interesting to watch a conversation. I was thinking if I could get out of the way and have 2014 Nate Eovaldi talk to 2021 Nate Eovaldi, how different a pitcher are you? How different a person are you? You know, if you go back to 2014, yeah. What would you tell that guy in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, 2014, I was just having my son. You know what I mean? Like, my wife was pregnant with my son, and I mean, it's, you know, 7 years ago. You know, I lived and died with the fastball back then. You know what I mean? I'd occasionally mix in a curveball, and then I lived and died with the fastball and slider. I tried to use, you know, Marlins Park. That was when the fences were, you know, it was 420 to dead center. You know, that it was a graveyard out there, and we had a great outfield. So I'm trying to pitch to contact, you know, go out there and just try to stay out there as long as possible. And now, you know, I got five pitch mix, and, you know, I'm trying to not allow any contact, trying to go out there and, you know what I mean, strike guys out, last as long as I can, try to get that dub.
That five pitch mix and, mm-hmm. and watching you as close as we do that, you know, the fastball plays better because of everything else. Right. But mm-hmm. I'm sure there are times you still hear, you know, man, you got 100. Why are you throwing the other stuff? You know, is that something over the course of your career, you've had to make sure you don't fall into that trap, right? That velocity can kind of be a trap. Everybody wants you to use it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I first got drafted out of high school, you know, in high school, I could overpower guys with fastball. And there'd be the times like when I'm down in the minor leagues, and, you know, you get a guy 0-2 and it's like, you're going to try to let it eat, throw it as hard as you can. And even then it was, I would try to throw it hard and it'd be, you know, 94, 95. And I'm like, you know, it's a little slower than like when I get that first pitch strike, you know, second pitch. And, you know, for me, it comes down to the mechanics of everything. If I have clean mechanics, then it should come out nice and easy. But, you know, as the games progress, and, you know, you kind of settle in that third, fourth inning, and then you're in the sixth, seventh. It's like that extra adrenaline comes in, you know, you feel like the time's almost over, and it's like you can kind of rear back and, you know, let it eat a little bit more. But, you know, like you said, having that five pitch mix and keeping them off your fastball, if I've done a good enough job, you know, to navigate my way into that sixth, seventh inning, the fastball should be playing a little bit better there towards the end of the game because they're not expecting it as much. And, you know, you got the crowd and the adrenaline and everything pumping through your veins and stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
You and Vasky have been together a lot, Plawecki as well, obviously. But when you've got that kind of arsenal, how important is it that you and the catcher are tuned, that you're both sort of on the same page as far as thinking it through?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. That's probably the biggest thing that I've changed this year is we started talking a lot more in between each inning, the catchers and I, just like about how we're going to attack this guy going out there, because you don't want to be on the mound. You don't want to be shaking, you know, 2-3 times. It seems like anytime you shake twice, batter steps out of the box, calls time. Then you got to wait for him to get back in the box. And then, you know, you're going through five pitches. You got a fastball inside, outside. I mean, there's two, you know, at the top of the zone sometimes. It's like you're signaling for all of that, all those. And, you know, if we can keep talking, communicating in between each inning about like how we want to attack guys, you know, it's, I mean, we've gotten it down to the point now, like where we, you know, if I try to throw a first pitch curveball and I try to backdoor it, even if I miss with it, like it doesn't have to be a strike. You know, the purpose is served. I'm leaning out there. Then I can come inside with the fastball and, you know, we'll have three pitches marked down before we even start the inning. And sometimes that's why, you know, if we're out there, we don't even throw down the signs because we've already talked about it in the dugout and the pace of play goes up faster. That was one of the things we started working on in spring training. Bear Tech was like, hey, we got to work faster. He's like, if we can get the batters to step out of the box, that means we're doing a good job. And the faster we can, you know, be in sequence, catchers and I, you know, the catchers and the pitchers, faster we can try to get the batters to get out of the box, then make mistakes, as opposed to, you know, you're taking 20 seconds on the mound, you're shaking, probably not a fastball coming, you know what I mean? So they start to wait on the off speed and then they end up hitting it. But I think the faster we can work out there on the mound, the quicker we can get out, the faster we can get our offense back in the dugout. And you've seen the potential that they have and the damage that they can do up there. So I think it all comes into play.
I know Dave Bush is a big believer in tempo, right? Keep the hitter on his heels. But I also know, you know, and I remember David Price was somebody I talked to back when he was here saying, sometimes a few extra seconds allows me to load up a little more. You know, if I get a couple more miles an hour, so how, you know, that's a balance, right? You want to be able to deliver your best pitch every single time. Yeah. You're not going to rush it just for the sake of rushing it.
Of course. I mean, if you start to, you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference if you're pounding the strike zone and if you're missing everywhere. You know, sometimes you got to take a step off the back of the mound, regroup, lock it in a little bit more and, you know, get back in the strike zone. And then other times you're working too fast from throwing strikes and it's, you know, you got to work on it. I mean, that's part of the, you know, the bullpens in between each side, in between each start, things like that. You kind of get that rhythm, the rhythm down, the routine down. And, you know, I know times like I mean, because there are times we'll be locked in and, you know, Cloud or Vasky, they're both throwing down the signs. I'm like, I'm still breathing hard. Like, I gotta slow down. Wait a minute. And then deliver the pitch, be able to execute.
The I was talking to Matt Barnes last week about the pitch pitch clock. You know, he had just been in the minors. And have you ever thought about what that would do? Would that affect you at all? I mean, you work quick enough that it probably wouldn't really have an effect on you, right, if they ever brought it in?
Yeah, I mean, how long ago was it? Maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when they started adding the 2 minutes, 2:15 out there in between each inning. And usually right. I get out there, I always look at it. As long as I'm out there by a minute 30 left on there, I get my 8 pitches, throw it down in between, my warm-up pitches. I have no problem. And, you know, I remember doing a couple of minor league rehab starts when I was with the Rays, and we had the pitch clock down there. And, you know, at times there's no issue. I mean, all you have to do is get on the rubber and you're trying to get your signs. But I like it. Honestly, I like it. I don't like having to wait on the batters to get in the box. You know, I feel like sometimes they take too long, and yeah, I don't think I'd have an issue with it at all.
It's funny how guys are different. Jonathan Papelbon comes on the show each week, and when they weren't issuing a ball, but they started giving the fines, right, for slow. And he was like, yeah, whatever, just send me the bill. He's like, I'm going to be slow. Just send me the bill. That's exactly what I do, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, we look ahead to whatever might happen over the next couple of weeks, but the way you guys have played here over the last six games, you got a 6-game winning streak. You got everybody back now. You got a full roster. How good does it feel that you're looking behind you, Bogey's back behind you, you know, this team is back together, and it seems to be playing the way it did earlier in the season? What's the vibe in that clubhouse right now?
I mean, it's a great vibe, you know, right now. I think the COVID bug hit us at the perfect time. You know, we were kind of scuffling. We started losing guys, and we had to rely on a lot of our minor league guys to be able to come up and do their job. And, you know, I feel like Aruz and Lopez did a great job coming up and, you know, playing the middle infield when we're, you know, we got Kike down, Bogey, Arroyo, all those guys were gone. And we needed to have guys step up, and we were able to, you know, stay within reach of everything. And then those guys come back, you know, 10 days out. I mean, being on the injured list or the IL or, you know, COVID, it does something to you. You know, when you're away from the game for 10 days, it's not fun. And to have those guys come back and kind of like piece by piece, it's like when we got Sale back, you know, from his recovering from Tommy John. It's just like you get that little spark and you're getting each guy coming back. You know, they didn't take them long to, you know, contribute. And then, you know, you still got Bobby D, who's been able to, he's had an unbelievable second half. And he's picked up his game over there at first. He's putting together quality at bats, driving in the balls. And I mean, everybody, it's all coming together at the right time. And, you know, obviously we're aware of where we're at in the standings, the wild card. And, you know, we're still trying to push for that division title. And we feel like that's in reach. And I think that's motivation for us as well. And, you know, starters have been throwing the ball well, and the bullpen stepped up as well, as, you know what I mean? Each guy, it seems, you know, when Barnes went down, you know, it's like, all right, we lost our closer. And it's like, who's going to step up? And I mean, we had Josh Taylor, Ottavino, Darwinson, you know, Richards has been coming in, and like they've been able to finish the games. And I mean, it's a huge deal for us. And especially, I mean, you've seen it how we, you know, manage the bullpen in the playoffs. I mean, everybody's all hands on deck at all time, and you got to be able to get that ball and get ready for it. And I feel like this is kind of preparing us for that moment.
Yeah, these days off you've got down the stretch to sort of let AC already start to do that, right? Hauk out of the bullpen was great the other day, and we'll see how he uses different guys. But he also has sort of set it up where the last 14 games, when it's all said and done, you and Chris will probably make half of those starts. And that's not to say Eddie isn't really important and Pivetta isn't really important, right? But 2013, the World Series team here, Lackey and Lester started 9 of their 16 games. They won 7 of the 11 postseason victories that the Red Sox won. And to be part of that conversation, to be healthy at this stage of the game and to have Sale back, what does it mean to know they're relying on you and Chris and obviously everybody else, but that you're going to be a really important pillar of this pitching staff down the stretch and hopefully deep into October?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's exciting for me. You know what I mean? Like, I love playing meaningful baseball games. You know, I feel like the hardest part of the season is kind of like that middle of the year phase, right before the trade deadline. It seems like, you know, there's really no other sports on. There's no other distractions. It's just baseball. And, you know, that's usually when we're playing a little bit of interleague play, things like that. And I feel like that's when it slows down a little bit. And then you get the trade deadline start to come up. You get other guys added to the team. It starts to pick back up. And then late August, September, it's all meaningful baseball. It's all, you know, everybody's scoreboard watching. And, you know, to be able to stay healthy has been the biggest thing for me, and be able to help out you know, we could sail back and, you know, him and I will be able to take the ball every fifth day from here on out and, you know, go out there and try to give the team the best chance to win. And, you know, the meaningful baseball, I mean, it's the most exciting, most fun part of it, I think.
Watching Chris pitch, watching him back on the mound, and you've been through Tommy John a couple times, obviously, so you know what he's kind of going through. And you watch him, listen, he's not vintage Chris Sale yet, okay, but he's finding different ways to attack hitters. It's kind of fun to watch him pitch right now because you're like, you know, last time out, pitching a contact, not because it was the game plan, because he said, I didn't have my overpowering stuff, but yet he's still, what, only three guys got on base. Pretty remarkable what he's doing.
I mean, to watch him work again, go about his craft, it's so much fun. You know what I mean? Like, I've always admired, you know, his work ethic and things like that. And like, he's had to learn and adapt going through Tommy John. You know what I mean? He knows the feeling when he feels good and when he doesn't. He's able to go out there, and even though he's not feeling 100%, he can still go out there and get guys out, like you said. And I mean, you saw it against Tampa when we were in Tampa. He was able to get double play balls when he needed to. He's not relying on the punch outs all the time. He's able to get those double play balls. And, you know, sometimes those are more important than the strikeouts.
So when you look back on this season, when you take a moment this offseason to appreciate it, you made your first All-Star appearance. And I know you said when you got named to the team how much it meant to you. But what was the experience? What was it like being there with the best guys in the game? To be facing Arenado and Freeman and Castellanos, right? I mean, you're facing, what was it like to be in the middle of that?
It was awesome. You know, it was kind of overwhelming at first, you know, dealing with all the media and just everything that they had planned for us when we're out there. I had my family, my kids were out there. So, you know, you're trying to take care of them as well. And, you know, it's something you've never experienced. So everything's kind of new for you. So it was a little stressful, but, you know, it was all worth it once the game started, you know, being announced out there on the line and then just going down to the bullpen. And, you know, I was familiar with all the staff because it was all the Rays training staff and coaches and stuff were there. So it's nice to see those guys again. You know, I've been a part of a lot of the teams that were out there. You know, I know a lot of the guys that were there. So it's nice to be able to interact with them, you know, hanging out during batting practice, shagging balls, just, you know, talking baseball, things like that. But I mean, once the game started, and I mean, you kind of look up there at the scoreboard and you got seven of the starting nine are all in your division. You know, it's like that our division is so good and it's so fun to be a part of, and just to be able to go out there and, you know, even pitching to Salvi, who's had a great year this year, being able to pitch to him. I mean, it's awesome just to be able to interact with all these guys. You know, you're playing with the best of the best. It's just cool.
I was talking to Dave Joust yesterday, who put on the best batting practice clinic in history, right, when he was throwing the home run derby. But he said the greatest thing about the All-Star game is, like you just said, your family's there. You know, mm-hmm. And he said that home run derby, like for guys to be able to have their family experience. And I know it was a great experience for you personally, but how cool was it to be able to share that with your family?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, I had my daughter and my son out there on the field, and, you know, he's seven now. So he's at that age where he's really getting into baseball and things like that. And, you know, just watching the balls fly, he's like, wow, can you hit it that far? I'm like, no chance at all. Like, I cannot do that. But he's like, oh, you know, thinking I can do everything. And I'm like, I can't hit very good, but. You know, watching some of those balls fly, especially in Colorado, I mean, the power that these guys have nowadays, just trying to keep that ball in the ballpark, it's that much harder, I feel like. But, I mean, it was such an awesome experience. They did such an amazing job taking care of us, taking care of our families. You know, we got a bunch of gifts and stuff that they provided for us, you know, not only for the players, but for the kids too and the families. So it's really cool that they include everybody. And, you know, it's not just us, but they understand that, you know, our families sacrifice a lot as well. So.
Does he want to pitch or does he want to hit bombs?
He likes to hit. He likes swinging it.
Can't blame him. That's exciting stuff. A couple of things here. I want to talk about the Roberto Clemente Award, and then we'll let you get going. But I want to, you know, you're in the Cy Young conversation, okay? And I know you're not having that conversation, and you're not, yeah. But just the fact that you're here with a couple starts left in the season, it speaks to, I remember, you know, a couple of years ago when Eddie Rodriguez had such a good year, he was saying the 200 innings were more important than the 20 wins. You know, certain markers you set along the way. And I know you work so hard at staying fit and staying healthy and the time you put in the trainer's room to make sure you can make all these starts. But to be here standing and to have people talking about you as one of the best in the game, what's it mean to you when you hear that conversation?
No, that's awesome. You know, I mean, again, kind of like what I touched on earlier, you know, we sacrificed so much time being away from our family and stuff like that. You know, my family's been back in Texas once school started for my son. So, you know, I've been at the house by myself, you know, so it's like I've really just tried to focus as much on baseball as I can. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like Eddie said too, you know, that 200 innings means a lot, you know, and coming into this season, especially with COVID last year, I figured there were going to be, you know, other, you know, they were going to be taking care of us. We'd be having extra starts. I didn't really think that the 200 inning mark was going to be in reach and, you know, to be as close as I am to that. And then, you know, 200 strikeouts, that means a lot to me, and just be able, you know, to be in the talk of, you know, Cy Young, that means a lot to me as well. You know what I mean? It's like, I try to come in and just take it one start at a time. And like you said, put in my work in between each start to make sure that I can stay out there and stay healthy. I mean, that's been my main focus of everything, is just stay healthy. And I feel like that's been the main reason I've been able to have success. You know, the training staff's done a great job of keeping my arm healthy, and, you know, training or talking with Bush about mechanics and just trying to stay within myself. And, you know, those times when I don't feel good, I mean, I feel it, I feel sore from it, but, you know, talking to Bush in between each inning, you know, we kind of figure it out as the game goes on. Like, if I'm having any kind of leaks or anything like that, mechanically, we're able to fix it kind of on the fly. And, you know, in the past, it'd just be more relying on the fastball. It's like, all right, I got to get myself out of this jam with a fastball. And then now we're able to rely on the off-speed pitches to get guys out quicker and not be stuck out there, you know, for a 20-pitch inning or longer. So that's helping
out. You've got the lowest walks per nine in Major League Baseball right now. And for a guy who kind of throws the kitchen sink on a good night, right, you throw it everything. Yeah. Is that something you're pretty proud of, that you've had that control throughout the year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? I think it goes back to spring training when we start talking about strike one. You know, you get strike one on a batter, it puts them in a tough position, and especially when I'm throwing five different pitches, I feel like it's a little easier for me to get that strike one where I don't have to be as perfect with it, putting a fastball in the black. You know, I can throw a curveball down the middle and, you know, they're not expecting it, or a slider for a first pitch strike, things like that. And that definitely helps out with the walk issue. And I think working quick again, you know, all those things kind of play a factor into it. And you know, if I get a guy 2-2, 3-2, I'd rather give up a home run than a walk almost at this point. You know what I mean? They have to do so many things right to hit a home run, especially nowadays. And you know, I feel like anytime you give them a free base, it kind of sparks the team and they get things going, and you can have a bloop hit in first and third, another bloop hit and scores. So, you know, I try to take that mentality out there of just attack the hitter with all my pitches.
And just the last thing on the health, like, it's harder as you get older. And trust me, you have no idea, right? Trust me, we'll talk something. But I mean, how much is it working smarter now? Is it knowing more about when you need to, you know, throttle up, when you need to scale back a little bit? Like, how much have you learned about what it takes to get through the season?
Man, I'd say both. You know, I remember when I turned 30, so it was like, oh, it's downhill from here. And I was like, no, come on. He's like, I've been feeling great. And then my back started hurting. I'm like, oh, no, this is what he's talking about. But yeah, I mean, just all the past injuries and just experiencing those and trying to learn from it to prevent it from happening again. Definitely working smarter. I've taken a lot more days off than I have in the past. You know, even days from throwing, I always take day one off of throwing after a start. And, you know, I still do all my arm care and things like that, but it's just trying to make sure I feel recovered from it. And, you know, when I was with the Rays, I had learned that. Chris Archer was telling me about it. It's like, why are you going to go out there and play catch the next day when your arm's sore from the night before? You're not going to be able to get your full extension, things like that. I'm like, yeah, that makes great sense. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, anytime you're sore or not feeling good, you're going to create bad habits. Your body's going to compensate in different areas. And, you know, I think that plays a big factor in making sure that I'm seeing our massage therapist. They do a great job in making sure, you know, if I have any issues, I tell them. And, you know, when I was younger, I felt like I had to have the same routine. I had to be in the weight room every other day, you know, showing the guys that I'm working, you know, that I'm not taking any days off. And, you know, it'd be a grind at that point, you know, especially in 162 games, and then you're playing for the playoffs. It gets even longer because they're stressful games. And, you know, there's definitely a lot more meaning behind those. But, you know, now we have deload weeks in our workouts, you know, where we're not putting as much weight on our backs. We're not gripping as much weight. You know, we're focusing more on stretching. Same with the running. You know, I've kind of changed my running up a little bit to where I'm not running as much, especially towards the end of the season. You know, it's just really listening to your body and, you know, talking to the strength coaches and then being willing to adapt to your schedule as well.
That's great stuff. The Roberto Clemente Award nominee, it's, you know, having been around Tim Wakefield, who won the award, and David Ortiz won the award, but mm-hmm. they'll always put that up above a lot of baseball awards or accolades they've gotten. So what's it mean to you to represent the Red Sox the way you have in the community and to be recognized by the team for that work?
No, that's awesome. You know, it's such a huge honor. You know, I remember when the Jimmy Fund reached out to me asking if I would want to be the team captain for it. And I, you know, there's no hesitation. Of course, I'd love to do it. And then just being able, I mean, even with just the Zoom meetings and stuff like that, but being able to reach out to the kids, talk to them, answer questions that they have, you know, lighten their day. It's been a huge honor. And, you know, I'd love to be able to do it again, but just being able to give back, you know what I mean? I feel like that's the biggest thing. And I wish I would have done it earlier in my career, been more involved earlier in my career, but I've always been, you know, I've had veteran guys reach out to me asking me if I want to help them out, you know, and so always, yeah, I'd love to do it. I'd love to help out. It just means so much. It means so much to the community. And then being able to, you know, say, you know, I'm part of the Red Sox too, helping them out, and being able to represent them, especially with the Jimmy Fund, everything that we've been able to do, it's amazing. So
you mentioned the Zoom stuff with the Jimmy Fund, and you know, we can't get over there for protocols on both ways, yeah. Right? I mean, for them and for you. But almost these Zoom things are like, anytime you connect with them over there, it's almost more important because of everything they're going through. I can't imagine it's tough enough, the battle they have, but to be doing it in the middle of this, when you can have limited family around you, whatever, it really, yeah. It's huge right now that you can see it in their faces anytime you can connect. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, my grandpa passed away this off season and we were in the hospital, you know, like every day for 2 weeks, and we'd get there as soon as the doors open, and we were there until they closed. And I mean, I remember him trying to take naps during the day, and it's like, you got people coming in, waking you, testing you. You got the sounds of the machines waking you up all the time. So I can't even imagine what these kids are going through at such a young age. And for us to be able to just have a Zoom call, even if it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, just answering silly questions, you know, just talking to them, seeing how their day is going, you know, they light up. Obviously, you know, some kids are a little shyer than others, but I mean, afterwards, I mean, they're not going to forget those times that we were able to have on the Zoom meetings. And, you know, for me to be able to take time and do that, and on my schedule, I'll always make it available for them.
And I'll ask you finally about that, the Clemente Award, named after, you know, a legendary player on and off the field, right? Like Alex Cora said, if there's a Hall of Fame above the Hall of Fame, Roberto yeah. Clemente is in that. Have you learned a little about his life? I know AC was saying one of the cool things about Roberto Clemente Day and the award is kids are asking, who was Roberto Clemente?
Yeah.
Who's number 21? And they're learning about his legacy. What does it mean to be connected to that legacy?
No, I mean, it's, I feel like I shouldn't be connected to it. You know what I mean? Like everything he was able to do and everything that he sacrificed and he was able to do for the community and his country. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know what I mean? I feel like I haven't done near enough. You know what I mean? When you start to get compared to Roberto Clemente, and you know, it's obviously big shoes to fill, but you know, I want to try to do my part and be able to try to film a little bit.
Miami, New York, Tampa, but now you've had more games, more appearances in a Red Sox uniform than any of the others. You feel like Boston's home for you?
Yeah, I love it here. You know, I mean, there was no hesitation, you know, after the World Series when we were reaching out, trying to sign back. I mean, this was the team I wanted to be back with. And, you know, luckily we were able to make that happen. You know, it's been outstanding. I've had nothing but love and support from the Red Sox, you know, the front office. They really treat you like family. And, you know, that's, you know, we touched on it earlier about the All-Star game, just them reaching out to your family. And I mean, they've been nothing but amazing for my family. And, you know, I can't thank them enough.
You know, I mean, the disappointment of 19, everything last year with COVID and no fans and everything, to be closing in on getting back to the postseason. How exciting is it for you? And I know you take nothing for granted. I'm not saying that yeah. You're going, you got to get there. But to be here, right, 10 games left and you're playing games that matter. We're scoreboard watching. How fun is it to be back in this position?
Oh, it's a ton of fun. You know what I mean? Obviously, we're super disappointed with 19. 2020 was COVID. You know, we'll chalk it up to that. But to have AC back, you know, coming in spring training, you know, everybody was saying we were going to be fourth place in our division. I mean, we knew as a whole, as a team, that wasn't going to happen, especially having AC back, the guys that we had picked up, you know, having Renfro, Kike, even picking up, you know, we got Ottavino, those guys earlier in spring training in the offseason. And, you know, we keep adding guys to the mix. We had Marwin earlier in the year. You know, a lot of these guys that we got back, you know, we knew that we were going to be a good team, better than what they had expected us to be. And, you know, obviously the beginning of the season, we started out hot. We cooled off there in the middle. But, you know, at this point, picking it up now and for us to be, you know, these last 10 games, meaningful playoff, I mean, essentially playoff games. I mean, that's what we want. That's what we're here for. And, you know, everybody senses that. And that's what we're striving for.
All right. Last question here, Nate. And it's the tough one. Okay. They can't all be softballs. They want me to make news and poke the bear and get some controversy going. So here it is.
What?
Yellow jerseys. Yes or no?
I like them. You know, the fans like them. Everybody else does. I mean, I got one of those. I love the sweaters. Have you gotten one yet?
The hoodies are great, no doubt. See, now Jim Rice and I are fighting about that. I got a hoodie. He got his jersey with the 14. Uh-huh. And he says coaches wear hoodies, players wear jerseys. But I think the hoodie is as sweet as it gets. I really
no,
do.
No, I like them. I like them. It's definitely different. It's nice to be able to switch it up kind of in the middle of the season too. You know what I mean? Instead of just, you know, we got the red ones at home, red and white at home, blue and gray on the road, and mixing a yellow here and there. Completely different, but I like it.
All right, if you picture yourself pitching in a playoff game, what are you wearing?
Home or on the road?
Home. You're at,
I
mean,
if we're at home, at home, I like the red, and when we're on the road, I like the blue. I mean, those are usually my two go-tos, but any jersey I have, I'll gladly wear it.
Hey, appreciate the visit, Nate. It's been a great season watching you, and good luck here down the stretch and beyond. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, TC. Appreciate it.
Great conversation with Nate Evaldi. I want to thank him for dropping by. Really a class act, and represents the organization so well. It's always great to see a guy like that have a terrific year. And again, last season, such a short year. He only threw 48 in the third innings, only missed a couple starts, really, over the course of the year. But such a short season that you never knew how pitchers were going to be able to bounce back. In 2019, had the injuries and only made 12 starts to go along with 11 relief appearances. So he's really put it all together this year. And really interesting to hear him talk about the way this season has come together. So we appreciate the time. And the visit from Nate Evaldi. We appreciate you dropping by to visit as well. Next time we talk, we'll be right in the thick of it at the very end of it all as we get ready for the final days. Red Sox with the Yankees this weekend. Going to be a massive series, obviously. Then they hit the road to end it. And maybe for the first time, we'll have a one-game wild card game at Fenway Park. That's how the standings sit right now. We'll see how it plays out. But for now, for all of us at Nesson and everyone involved in putting this together, I'm Tom Karen. Thanks for checking out the TC and Company podcast. We'll see you next time.